As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Bird to your mother, it's time for another episode of Birds with Friends. Just some high-flying, ran-fast, vertical stems of professors from Penn watching eagles eat and pray like Pazookies on birthdays. It's Philadelphia, Marissa, Bo, and Zach kicking it cooler than three penguins till Zach runs off with his valet keys. He's a real nuanced goose. Pull up a branch, get loose, it's time for some juice on some
Birds with Friends.
The early bird gets the worm, but prefers getting turned like a turn on some
Birds with Friends.
Marissa, Bo, and Zach are here to squawk. Don't miss the mistress talk on some.
I don't call it the off season. I call it the non-playing season.
Is that what you say when people, you know, normies ask you about what you do in the off season? You say it's the not the off season, it's the non-playing season?
I don't correct them, but I'll call it the non-playing season.
Okay.
I'll feel like there's the playing season.
The NPO.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Birds with Friends on a Tuesday afternoon. Bo Wolf, Zach Berman. Training camp is over, and it ended with a bang, Zach. As Jason Kelce and Zaire Franklin, Colts linebacker, first and only day of joint practices between the Eagles and Colts, it's getting a little bit chippy throughout practice. Derek Barnett's in a fight. You know, Zach's feeling some kind of way about that. He's not chirping from both sidelines on both guys. And then at the last period, move the ball practice, Kelce and Franklin have been jawing back and forth for about 45 minutes. I think potentially Jason Kelce taking some umbrage with the force with which Zaire Franklin is tackling some players. And the first play of the drill, excuse me, Zaire Franklin again thumps Kenny Gainwell on a run. He and Kelce start jawing again. The next play is a dump off to Kenny Gainwell in the open field. Franklin hits him even harder. And here comes Jason Kelce like a bat out of hell, running as fast as he can. And he just steamrolls the guy, and the sidelines empty. It's a total melee. The practice is called off by Nick Sirianni and Shane Steichen. And for potentially the final act of Jason Kelce's training camp career is turning Zaire Franklin into roadkill. How did you see it?
It was entertaining. It was as you described. It was as you described because it was right in front of us, right? Sometimes you're at these practices where it's on a farther field. This was right in front of us. You saw it building up to that. Like you mentioned the Derek Barnett play, and that was evident. And you saw kind of it was a physical practice as it was. There was some things in one-on-ones that stood out. And then when Kelce did it, all hell broke loose. And you heard one of their defensive
concussion uncle.
You heard one of their defensive linemen scream like 62 is a something.
Yeah. This,
what's that?
A B word.
A B word. Okay. We're a family friendly pod here. Okay. So it was an interesting afternoon. Someone says, how is there no video of this fight? You're not allowed to tape it then. I mean, perhaps someone broke the rules and pulled it up. That would go viral. But there's a period in practice when cell phones go away, and this was one of them.
Now, Zach, If this happened in a game, what do you think? What do you think the penalty would be for Jason Kelce?
Well, he'd be ejected.
Okay.
Suspended? I don't know. I doubt suspended. Ejected though.
Okay. Now
this wasn't like an Albert foot stomp. This was more just
there were no
like,
punches thrown. He ran to him, and as he got there, it was like a full shove. He sort of de-cleated him. Jason Kelce is one of the most important players on the Eagles, right? And so him not being on the field would be a big deal. So I want to give you the time now. You have the floor to excoriate Jason Kelce for doing something like this. I know how you feel about when players do this.
Well, if it was a game and it cost them yards and it cost it, if it was a game, I would feel a little differently. Jason Kelce himself said afterwards that it was unacceptable.
And so he felt ashamed. Yeah.
Yeah. He let his emotions get the best of him. So I don't think Jason Kelce would say that's something that should be done in a game. If I will say this, if the Eagles, if they converted a first down or something like that, and Jason Kelce did well, it would be an after the play, so the first down would still count, right? Derek Barnett's thing gives the opponent the first down, but so you're gonna go
so far as to say that Kelce's is better because it's
no. The example that I gave
would
was
not
when,
be,
no,
the example lines would just be moved down the field.
No, the example.
What
I
an
gave,
amazing take.
No, in the past when Barnett did it, he gave the opponent a fresh set of downs. So I was trying to give an apples for apples.
Okay.
Comparison.
So it's not about losing control of your emotions. It's just about that's really what the only thing that matters.
If Jason Kelce did that in a game and it cost the Eagles serious yards, it took them out of field goal range. Let's say that there they're down two, 10 seconds left. Okay. Jalen Hurts throws a completion to AJ Brown, similar to how Wentz did Alshon Jeffrey against the Giants. Remember that in 2017 to set up Jake Elliott's 61-yarder? Yep. And so the 61-yarder gives them a chance to kick the game-winning field goal. But then Jason Kelce, in a fit of rage, runs out there and topples the opponent. Penalty flag comes on the field. They're out of field goal range. Yes, I would come on Birds with Friends and I would say, that was an egregious play. If that's the word you wanted me to use, I would say that was an egregious
play. But when has Derek Barnett done the equivalent of that? In terms of a game-changing flag like that?
No, I was setting the scene. I was being dramatic. I was trying to take a page out of the Beowulf playbook.
Okay. So, you know, you don't want Jason Kelce not playing with that level of emotion. Maybe you don't want Derek Barnett not playing with that level of emotion.
As our old friend Chip Kelly once said, you need to control your emotions, not let your emotions control you, which is applicable on and off the field, by the way.
Yes. Hmm. So do you think that this means that you will now lay off Derek Barnett?
I don't think I lay on Derek Barnett. I think I call it like I see it. I'm a reporter.
For Emily's sake that you don't.
Fair enough. I'm a reporter, and when I see something that needs to be said, I'll say it. And
okay,
but I'm
just saying you can't have it both ways. If these guys are going to be doing this, you got to come down on both of them, or you got to let them both be.
I think that Jason Kelce's case was an isolated incident. I think that
he's never got angry during practice before.
No, he has. Usually at a trash can, though. Do you think there was any part of it that was Jason Kelce said like it was not deliberate at all? He wasn't trying to like send a message. It was just pure emotion. But Jason Kelce's a smart guy. He's been around this league. Do you think a part of it was him trying to like, I don't know, galvanize, but show I got Gainwell's back. I got my teammates back. Like the symbolism. Do you think the symbol like I need? Okay. You just think
not.
He was pissed off.
I think what adds to the rage and what makes him pop off is the underlying feeling and connection and love for his teammates. And so he's seen Kenny Gainwell get, you know, continually picked on by Zaire Franklin. Mm-hmm. He's chirping back and forth. He sees it happen again. And that's when he pops off. I don't think in that split second, he's thinking to himself, all right, well, if I do this, then that'll cancel practice. And then I think that everybody's going to be really happy about that. We're going to really come together and be cohesive in our last moment together.
When did Jason Kelce become Kirk Cousins? When you're Kirk Cousins voice and you're Jason,
it's his inner monologue.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he's saying, "I just told that guy not to do that. And I'm going to go run him over."
So two comments to this. First off, there was a good podcast last year, Chris Long with Steve Belichick. I remember where I was when I heard this. For those who are watching, Bo is doing the Steve Belichick lip thing, tongue thing. Where Chris Long said before a joint practice with the Bears one time, him and Kyle agreed, like, let's get in a fight so we get kicked out of practice because Belichick has this
the Kerry Williams move.
Yeah. The second thing I was going to say is sometimes Kelce, like, you remember week one last year, Kelce had a particular message he wanted to get across and he used his press conference to do it. I don't think that's what today was, but certainly his teammates loved it. I mean, after, you know, his teammates were pumped about that.
I also take him at his word in terms of like the apology. Like he did really seem embarrassed about that.
Yeah.
I don't think that it was intentional. Yeah, Jalen didn't like it because he said they didn't get to finish practice.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which is like the most Jalen Hurts thing you could possibly imagine.
Yeah, exactly.
Now you say that everybody loved it. And I don't know if you noticed this, Zach, because you know, he runs over Zaire Franklin, and then it obviously, you know, becomes just a sea of testosterone, all these guys jumping. At one point, Kelce's on the pile. I'm thinking, like, oh my God, I hope like this doesn't lead to him getting hurt. And then he escapes the pile. There's still this whole melee of everybody else. But Kelce is sort of walking off to the side, trying to calm down. And there's like one other guy over there. And they exchange a little fist bump. And it's like real recognize real. You know who that was?
Fletcher Cox?
Derek Barnett.
Derek Barnett. Oh, okay.
It was great. These two guys. And I love the idea of like, Nick's mad about this. We got to control our emotions. But then like later tonight at team meetings, he's going to like hand over the clicker and the pointer to Derek Barnett so he can review the film of Kelce's thing in front of the whole team. Like, now, what I really love what he did here is and really just like get into the weeds of starting a fight.
Sirianni was fired up today too. You know, he picked up the penalty flag. We can get to that. But there is one thing from your opening, which was really good opening monologue, by the way. You said the last day of training camp. I had the most innocuous question to Jalen Hurts today.
I know.
Jalen Hurts, he was like insisting that today was not the last day of training camp. To the point when we walked off.
And you weren't even like, it wasn't even like, you weren't like, hey, Jalen, is this the last day of training camp? You're like, hey, Jalen, it's the last day of training camp. What do you think you've learned over?
He's
like,
yeah.
Who says who?
He was like, he took umbrage with the fact that I said it's the last day of training camp. And then I was laughing as I was leaving the field. They were literally taking the training camp signs down outside. And I'm like, you got to go tell your franchise quarterback. He's going to come here and he's going to be like, wait, where are all the training camps?
You got to walk through tomorrow, you know, like.
Exactly. Yes. He didn't even answer the question.
Yeah.
He was like, he wanted to correct. He just cut me off and corrected me. Yeah. He's done that a few times to me where he just disagrees with the premise of the question.
Mm. Yeah. He's listening. Yeah. Maybe it's also him looking for a way to not answer the question is to disagree with.
I feel like he watches the pod and he's on team Bo.
Why?
He likes to stick it to me there, you know?
Okay. Maybe he's a big Derek Barnett guy.
I like Derek Barnett. I've spoken to his mother. I spoke to his position coach at Tennessee. I wrote about Brentwood Academy. I mean, not to the degree you did. You did a really good piece in 2019 on that. But Brentwood Academy.
You think you're not allowed to not like anyone whose mother you've talked to?
No, there's people. Well,
there have to be.
Yeah, there aren't that many people that I dislike, but but no, there are. Meeting their mother does not make me like them.
Say,
but
your mother for me.
It often does humanize them, right? Like it makes them three-dimensional.
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Let's say 30 years down the road, okay? You're covering your last training camp practice as a reporter. And you have a chance to go out on a real football guy note. And in your final act, you can full speed run over anybody you want. Who is it going to be?
So two things here. First off,
is it like an opposing beat writer? Like you're running over John Machota? What do we got going on?
So Emily's not listening to this pod right now, but if she listens, her response to that is going to be, Zach, if you are spending your Saturday at an Eagles training camp practice when you're 67 years old, I am going to leave you. I think that's what she'll say. I think she'll say.
You made it to 67. That's a pretty good run.
No, but like if you're spending your Saturday jotting down whether Mekhi Garner Jr. got the defensive pass interference nice. Or the interception on that play on a random Saturday when we could be sitting watching our grandkids or, I mean, 30 years from now. Yeah, Reed's going to be 30. Yeah, Reed's going to be 36 then. Maybe we'll have a grandkid. Sloan will be 34.
And most likely, the world will have exploded, but I mean,
talk about this podcast taking a different turn. But no, to answer this hypothetical, who would I chase down? And trying to think who's been a jerk to me. I don't know. Everyone's been fine.
Only fine though.
Yeah.
I feel like it might be me.
No, I love you, Bo. I'm careful with the word love. I'm
sorry. Whoa, we just got a bomb.
I'm sorry.
I love you too. Wow. We've been building up to that for like 6 years.
4.5. Yeah. I don't know. I'll think about that. I'll get back to you on Thursday night with that one.
Okay, you think it over. All right. We set the scene with the fireworks there at the end. Let's send it over to the Stone Cold Newsman for the injury updates, schedule updates, and then we can talk about the Quackos report from today.
Returning to practice today on a limited basis was wide receiver Quez Watkins. He has a hamstring injury, but he was back on the practice field, as I said, on a limited basis. Britton Covey, Kyron Johnson, Moro Ajomo, Hassan Reddick, Nolan Smith, and Greg Ward did not practice. As far as schedule, the Eagles have a walkthrough tomorrow, and they have a game on Thursday night. We don't know about the playing time for the Eagles starters. I'm presuming they're not going to play. But Anthony Richardson is going to start for the Colts, so you can see the number 4 pick in the draft. Back to you in the studio, Bo.
Thanks, Zach. Love you too. And very quickly, so you took the defense. I took the offense today for the most part. Mm-hmm. We had a period at the end, or two periods at the end, where we got to watch both. But give me your first impressions of Anthony Richardson.
Big arm, big dude.
That's pretty much what the scouting report was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big arm, big dude, and really fast.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't see him run too much today, but he had in 7-on-7s, he was really stretching the field. I think there was one pass to Alec Pierce. I hope if it wasn't Alec Pierce, I apologize. It just profiled.
A little milk check on the wide receivers.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. As I said that, I'm like, unless there's someone else on the roster there.
Working with the ones, presumably it must have been.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. The defense didn't get as much work as I was hoping to today. When I took the defense, it seemed like the offense was on the field every single time, especially when they went on the same field. The defense had like 8 plays.
Oh, really? Like there weren't other team periods?
Well, there was one team period before that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe it's them protecting Richardson or something.
Or maybe because they're starters.
Because he's going to play. Yeah.
Maybe that. Yeah. It seemed like I didn't get a lot from the Eagles defense today. There was I'll give you a few depth chart things. Justin Evans, man, we talked about this yesterday. He continues to get work with the ones. And look, Terrell Edmonds mixed in and Sidney Brown mixed in. But Justin Evans is he's in competition here to be a starter.
Yeah, I think he might be the week one starter. I think that's possible. I think you're starting to see a little bit of a turn towards week one in some of the depth chart stuff. Maybe that's overreading things. What other, before we get to the action itself, what other depth chart things were interesting? It looked to me like Mario Goodrich was not out there as the second team.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone said he wasn't practicing.
Okay.
But I did not see that. Zach.
Josiah Scott instead.
Zach Cunningham was with the ones.
Mm-hmm.
And he continues to be, and I think he's going to start.
Okay.
Jalen Carter continues to take work with the ones. He's really been coming on. He had a good practice today.
Yeah. What was your vantage point of the Barnett scuffle? Because Jalen Carter played a role in there.
Well, I thought Barnett was the one, and so that was on the opposite side of us. I was blocked by the offensive line, and I was on the defensive side, so I couldn't see as they came around. I thought Barnett had this. My interpretation of it is Barnett sacked him, unless it was Carter who sacked him. But then Richardson still like threw it, and Barnett just like knocked it out of his hand.
Knocked the ball out, yeah.
Yeah, which you're not supposed to touch the quarterback's arm. And the Colts got into Barnett's face. And
Barnett all of a sudden does, and it wasn't just like a normal football fight. He starts doing the square up like he's ready to.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
Like Tim Anderson the other day.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Jalen Carter comes in and like, very much gets involved. Second time we've seen that from him. Guy wants the smoke.
Yep.
But then it petered off after that.
Yep. Yep. But yeah, that was my interpretation of that.
Who was getting the better of the other in your estimation?
I think the Eagles got more pressure. I Jalen Carter was in the backfield a few times there. But as I said, that there weren't that many plays like that the defense had. So yeah, I was frankly hoping for more, unless I did not watch practice as well as you did.
How about the twos?
Gardner Minshew.
Wallace had a near.
Okay. So that one there, Gardner, Kevin Wallace had an interception that was overturned, or that there was a flag on the play. Sirianni did not like it, picked up the flag, like waved it in the official's face.
It was kind of joking, but yes, he didn't like it. Then he wanted to talk about it.
He didn't like the
call. I had a very good angle on this. I thought the flag was fine. I thought it was close. Okay. You know, Kayvon does get there sort of to the spot before the receiver does, but he also muscled the guy and like shoulders the guy out of his path before the ball gets there. I thought it was probably a penalty, but I wouldn't have been, you know, upset if they didn't throw it.
Mm-hmm.
And Kayvon himself said after practice, I think that, you know, I'm not allowed to touch him first or whatever. So tight play.
Mekhi Gardner had two interceptions that I counted. Wow. One was overturned or one had a flag on the play and then the other one, he kind of like waved in the face of the wide receiver.
In one-on-ones or team drills or
one was one-on-ones and one was team drills, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Or 7-on-7s.
Right. Gardner coming on.
Yeah.
Spot open. Him, so? Ricks, Goodrich. Yeah, I think there's a spot there for a sixth corner.
I've seen him referred elsewhere as a safety. He's been a corner.
Yeah, he hasn't taken a single rep at safety.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, who's referring to him as a safety?
I'm not naming names.
Oh, this is not just like online scuttlebutt. This is people on the beat?
Yes.
Okay. Our lips are sealed in that case.
I read everyone's notes, yeah.
Mm. So you're ready to potentially add this person to the list of people you want to run over on your last day?
Never.
Okay.
And 67 years old. Look, I hope to still be working then. I hope not to be covering Eagles training camp then. I'll put that out there.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's big.
Yeah. I want to work until like at least 80, 85.
Well, you said you wanted to work until the day you die. You're famously on the record for that.
I said, I don't know what I would do if I wasn't working. Yeah, I don't need to spend. So 30 more years from now would be 42 years of watching training camp practices. And actually, if you include the year I was on the Giants beat, okay, or the 2 years I was on the Giants beat, rather. So that'd be 44 years. The 2 years I interned with the Eagles, 46 years. A year that I interned at the Inquirer, 47 years. And then I would have 2 years at the Washington Post when I helped out at the Commanders, the Washington football team. So I'd be at like 49 years of training camp practices. And I gotta say, I that's a lot of training camp practices. I want to go to some, but like,
yeah, but imagine how light training camp is going to be by then.
That's true. That's true. They, I don't know if they'll have training camp.
It's going to be patty cake.
Exactly. I'll say back in the day, yeah, they used to have
Andy Reid training camps.
Yeah. Yep.
So, what do you hope to be covering in 35 years?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I just hope I keep getting better, right? Yeah, my as long as I'm not complacent. Complacency is, yeah, I don't want to be complacent.
Okay. Well said. Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else on the defense? Feels like you you don't have a ton of notes here. As you said, not a lot of action. That's not a shot at you. That just you
yeah. Now here, let me pull up my actual notes here. Sydney Brown collided with a Colts tight end trying to break up a pass. His closing speed is apparent whenever he's on the field.
I agree with that.
Yeah. I said another active day for Jalen Carter, who has come on during the past 2 weeks. He's in the backfield often and continues to work with the first team defense. Linebacker Zach Cunningham continues to be paired with N'Kobe Dean. The Kayvon Wallace play, Justin Evans.
Now, is it Justin Evans or is it Evan Justin's?
It's Justin Evans.
Thank you. Okay. Good to go.
How about the offense? It was pretty robust. But should we take our break?
Do we have a break?
Yes. We do have a break, yeah.
Well, then let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about the offense right here on Birds with Fred.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions. Supply.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/theathletic.
Bo and Zach, back on Birds with Friends. I would say my macro takeaways from the Eagles offense against the Colts defense, that Colts front seven is pretty good. And I thought that the Eagles, when they were throwing the ball,
had a lot of success today. A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, to me, looked like the two best players in the field today. But when the Eagles tried to run the ball, the Colts did a very good job. I think there were only two runs that really popped at all. One was a Kenny Gainwell touchdown run from like 15, 20 yards out. And then one was with the twos, Rashad Penny following big old Fred Johnson down the field. And the sideline was very excited about Fred Johnson out in the open field blocking people. But for the most part, you saw like the rotation of all four guys at running back, and they tried to run against the Colts front, and they had not a lot of success. Obviously, we remember from last season that Colts defense probably had the best performance of any opponent against the Eagles in the entire season, especially with Jalen Hurts. So that was going to be an interesting matchup. But on the outside, in one-on-ones, A.J. Brown caught, you know, back-to-back long touchdowns against Kenny Moore. The second one was kind of funny. It was coming right at me, and Kenny Moore's like, man, good stuff, man. It's like he's just shaking his head. There's nothing he could do. As A.J. Brown then hands the football to a little girl who was crying.
I think it was his daughter.
Was it his daughter?
Yeah, I think I saw someone say that he gave the ball to his daughter.
I thought that it might have been his daughter, but I wasn't 100% sure about that.
Do you know his daughter's name?
Sloan.
No. I'll give you a hint. If you walk outside your house and you walk straight, if you turn left, let's say, and walk straight, okay, you will hit the river, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's on the other side of the river?
Camden.
What state is Camden in?
New Jersey.
Take out the new.
Jersey.
Jersey, yep.
Her name is Jersey?
I believe so.
Okay.
If not,
that was a really long walk to get there. You could have said, what does he wear at work?
Okay. Fair enough, Bo. I didn't have that planned, by the way. That was this is funny. Did Kenny Moore say that to you? You said he was approaching you and he said that. Did he say it to you or just say it out loud?
No, he said it out loud to A.J. Brown.
Oh, okay.
It's like good stuff, man. Yeah.
What about the Steichen special?
Well, hold on. I'm not done with my point about the wide receivers.
Okay, sorry.
I said A.J. Brown's dominating the one-on-ones. He has, and it is obvious in team drills, this thing that we know, but you know, you see it every day. You maybe get numb to it, just how easy it is for the Eagles, for Jalen Hurts to complete a slant or like a little hitch to A.J. Brown. It's just like it's a go-to play. It's easy money. He's so effortless and so good. But Devontae Smith in team drills was the star today. He had two really nice catches down the right sideline. One, he was interfered with, and yet he rose above and came down with it, got both feet in bounds. Two plays later, he catches it back shoulder for a touchdown. This is in the move the ball period, so this is like the most important period of the day. He also caught another touchdown earlier in team drills, like wide open on a bust in coverage. Jalen Hurts had dropped the snap on a bad snap, but then was able to find him down the field. And it's just like this is the Zach in me and not the Bo in me, that, you know, maybe we focus too much on the bottom of the roster guys, but you know, when it comes down to it, the Eagles have maybe the best, you know, duo of wide receivers in the NFL. And that matters a lot.
Agreed. And AJ Brown's been awesome this year, this summer.
Yeah, I think so.
Expert analysis there. That's the key to covering the Eagles right there.
He's been good.
Yeah.
The Steichen special you referenced with the twos, a little pitch left to Kenny Gainwell, former high school quarterback, rolling to his left, puts on the brakes, lofts a pass downfield to Grant Calcaterra for a completion of 25 yards or so. And Jalen Hurts told us after practice that is a Shane Steichen play that he put into the playbook that they never used last year. So they put it in just for today, just to do it as a little FU, welcome home to Shane Steichen, which I like. I respect that.
It was an FU. I think it was Shane, we love you.
A loving FU. It was like,
loving FU. Okay. Do you think Shane knew right away, that's my play?
100%.
Okay.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
It's a good one because, like,
You're not going to expect that Kenny Gainwell is a lefty necessarily, right?
He's ambidextrous.
Is he?
Yeah. I chatted with Kenny after, well, we chatted with Kenny after practice.
Okay. I wouldn't say it was a great throw, but it was a good enough throw.
A good throw is one that's caught. Yeah.
It's debatable. Yeah, I thought it was a nice little play. I don't know what else to say, I guess, about what else happened in practice. I thought Jalen Hurts was mostly pretty good. There was a little bit of pressure. It was somewhere between the level of the first Browns practice and the second Browns practice. Yeah. Jordan Mailata gave up a bad sack at one point. With the second team offensive line, we didn't see any Josh Sills today. He was there. He was practicing. So you wonder if he's sliding himself off the roster at this point. It was Fred Johnson, Sua Opeta, Josh Andrews, Tyler Steen, Jack Driscoll, and Brett Toth took a few reps at left tackle, and Cameron Tom took a few reps at center. Didn't see any Sills today. So
you're saying sliding himself off the roster. One of us didn't have him on. Just saying. Some of us can evaluate backup offensive linemen.
A guy was inserted as a second team left guard his first day of practice after being gone for 9 months, and now he's not practicing. I think that's fair to say that that's a slide.
Greedy Williams was second team corner early on in his first day of practice. He's not on the team right now. Just saying.
Yeah, much to your chagrin.
I actually think I left this out of the news item. The most important thing that happened at practice today. There was some hard-hitting journalism going on here. Okay. Bo was playing the role of Lieutenant Caffey in A Few Good Men. If you understand the reference.
I understand it. It was a very innocuous question.
I know. It was such an, I'm just kidding here, but, no, Bo asked, are you calling the right guard competition?
I said, are you ready to say that Cam Jurgens is the red guard?
Yeah. And Nick is
he
like,
said no. And I said, fine. I wasn't pushing him. I didn't like,
And then Nick's like, what do you think? He's been out there every play.
I said, I know. That's why I want you to say it.
Yes.
It was kind of like A Few Good Men. You're right.
I need you on that wall. Yes. That. And then LeSean McCoy came to Jalen Hurts' press conference. And Darius Slay interrupted.
Here's a guy who loves himself some him.
Yeah. And Darius Slay interrupted Jalen Hurts' press conference to seek an autograph.
Yeah, but not for himself, on behalf of somebody else.
Yes.
Yes. We got to do something about these Jalen Hurts press conferences.
Well, they're going to be inside now, fortunately, so we'll be able to hear. But
that's
true. Yeah, Jalen, he does not want to play ball on anything.
Except practice.
That's true. That's true.
He was asked, what was he asked? What is fun about this for you? And he just said winning?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which was a big part of Greg Bishop's article yesterday, which Jalen Hurts did not read. And Jalen does this thing sometimes where he did it with his cell phone camera thing, where it's like, if he didn't tell us it before, then it's like, we're not qualified to know. So there was something that was in the article about how Ted Rath sent him to these quarterback coaches in California. And he was like, he's like, I never told you guys that. So,
right.
Like, it's like, well, all right,
now we know.
Now we know. Can you elaborate on it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I actually didn't hear that about the phone background thing. That's funny.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, so this was a few weeks ago.
Well, I know I didn't hear his comment.
Yeah. He said, I care not to share because if it was up to me, you wouldn't know. Or I care not to comment because if it was up to me, you wouldn't know about it.
Okay, that's a better answer than the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Unfortunately, you don't have that power.
One can wish.
The show.
One can wish. Yes.
Mm. I'm trying to think if there's anything else from practice today. Devin Allen did a few nice things, but that was really the first time I've seen that all summer. Grant Calcaterra has flashed of late. I think he's got that spot locked up. That's about it. DeAndre Swift had a nice screen gain with the twos, but he also dropped a pass. If you're only talking about reps with the ones, and you're making that your thing, Zach, DeAndre Swift would not be the lead running back right now. Kenny Gainwell gets more reps.
That's correct. Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So you think that is a mirage?
I don't think it's a mirage. I think it's gonna. There's 2,100 words on The Athletic right now that our audience can read about the running back situation. Appreciate that setup. Oh, good teammates right there. I think Kenny Gainwell is going to be used in. I think he's going to be the first. I think he's going to start Gainwell. Okay, and I think hurry up 2 minute. But I think that Swift at the end of the game will play the most. And at the end of the season, we'll play the most, but we'll see.
Okay. Go read that story on The Athletic.
Please. You know how I let it? Did you get a chance to read it?
I started to read it and then I did not finish it yet.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I did see how you let it.
Yeah. With last year, they were definitive that Miles Sanders was the guy. Mm-hmm. This year, it's just slashes all over the place. Trey Sermon's on the same footing as Gainwell and Swift.
Except Sermon. Well, I guess Sermon's injured. So, but. Yeah. Yeah, he's not really on that level anymore. Zach, I've been like home alone, and you've been home alone for the past couple of days, right?
Yeah, well, I got to say this. So during this pod, my family came home, and I can't wait to see them. So I'm so excited to see Emily and my kids. They haven't been out as long as you have, but they've been out since Sunday morning. So. Okay. Eager to see them.
Two full days, 2.5 days. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what I don't know what to do with myself. I've been home alone since Saturday. I got another week and a half of this. I know what to do. Like 2 days. Okay. Like I can get some movies in, or I can watch a show, eat something stupid. Now it's like I've exhausted that. I feel what am I doing here? Want to see the kids?
Yeah. Maybe you can sneak up to. We can talk.
Probably not. I don't think we're going to have that break in the schedule, unfortunately.
We'll see. Unless
we're talking about something different.
No, I was going to say. I want to do a test between you and me here. Okay.
Let's do it.
You're home alone for X amount of days.
Yes.
If you go into your room right now, is the bed made?
No.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, all definitely right. Not.
That's where you and I are different. Yeah.
Yeah, but I could have predicted that answer for both of us.
Yeah.
Of course, when I'm home alone, I'm not making the bed for myself. What are you, nuts?
Do you? is Rachel's side of the bed still tucked in?
Well, no, because it wasn't made when Rachel left. It was already untucked.
Oh, okay. Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. No chance.
Okay.
I would say that that making our bed is not a thing that we are great at. Like every day, we're not just making the bed every day. I would say. I mean, we clean sheets. We're cleaning the sheets.
Sure.
You know, put the comforter back on, but could be. There's go ahead.
Here's a speech from Admiral William McRaven. I believe it was at Texas Austin, a commencement address where he said the most important thing you do every day is make your bed.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Well, it gives you a sense of pride. Like you did this, mission accomplished, and now you're going to do more stuff.
I'll tell you what, I will do that for you tomorrow morning, and I will tell you that it will be the least important thing I did all day long.
Okay. Okay.
Who cares? You know what's interesting? When I am home alone with the kids, like if Rachel's away for a work trip or something, oftentimes I will sleep on her side of the bed.
Really?
Now I think the reason I do that is because it is like, it's a little bit closer. It's easier to get up and get, like if Jane's up in the middle of the night, I don't have to walk around. I can go straight through. But when I'm home alone, I sleep on my side of the bed. I don't know what the psychology behind that is.
Yeah. I sleep on my side of the bed, and I'm like scared to go to that side. Like,
you'll get barked at if she notices anything important.
her side's pristinely made right now. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. What have you been doing with yourself?
I was writing an article yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm writing a book still.
Flex.
I wish I wasn't making that flex because. A training camp's been time consuming. I've been doing stuff like that.
Okay. No time for yourself. No Zach time.
No Zach. I went out last night, at 7:15 for pizza and had a slice of pizza, and that was, that was it.
Where'd you go?
I went to Jules Thin Crust last night.
Okay. It's good. Is it good?
It's solid. Yeah. It was quick and easy. It was one of those things where I was on the phone with someone. I got in the car and I was driving and, passed it. I'm like, all right, yeah, I'll go in there. I didn't have a plan for where I was going to eat. I was just going to like the central business district.
Okay. But you did get in the car with the express purpose of going to dinner.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Exactly. Yes.
I had a nice dinner all by myself last night at Kalaya.
Oh, I should have gone with you.
You should have.
Yeah.
Nice 5:15 reservation.
That's great. I would have met you. Yeah.
You should have.
It could have been our Asian weekend. That sounds weird. I mean, that sounds
out there, but.
Because we had the other day, and people remember, we went for Southeast Asian cuisine. Yes.
That's right. Yeah. A good meal. And you know what's funny? That's like the last time I was there is when I saw you. You were there with Lee.
Yeah, but there's a new one now. Yeah.
Yes, I know. I was there. Yes. I'm the one who went last night.
So it's not this. Did you get the dessert with the shaved ice?
I did not get the dessert with the shaved ice.
The shaved ice.
I mean, awesome. it's a different experience when you're eating alone. There's less sharing. You've got to eat it all yourself. It was good. Then I went to bed early and woke up at about, I went to bed at like 8:30, which is as atypical a thing as I could possibly do. And every time I ever try to go to bed early, what happens is I sleep for like an hour and a half and wake up and then have a hard time falling back asleep. Mm. That's what happened. I had a dream that I was invited to play golf with Alex Berman.
Yeah. I got to tell Alex that you're dreaming about him. yeah. Nice. That's awesome. I went out to dinner with my grandparents on Sunday night. I did that Sunday, then last night pizza, and then once we get off this pod, I still have a few more notes to put in our thing, but okay. I will run down to see see my kids. Excited to see them.
I will mostly let you go soon. We did promise the director's cut any questions about the Petullo golf story. I don't know.
Yes. We should have gotten to that earlier. Okay. Great story. Check it out. Actually, it was a celebrity sighting at practice because she was there today at practice.
Yeah, it was great. Great to see them.
I hope everyone here I won't call you sickos, but I hope our audience has read it.
I had a sicko introduce himself today as a sicko, and his name was Zach.
Really? I had a security guard today.
He had a 4-year-old son with him, and he was wearing really cool shoes. Wow. One of the shoes.
There was a nice woman who I call her security guard. She, an employee, a training camp employee, said, do you have a podcast? I said, yes. She said, what's it called? I said, Birds with Friends. And she said, my brother loves it. I said, oh, thank you so much. Appreciate that.
All right.
Yeah. So, what was the best thing left out of the story? Let's go back. What was it like on the scene? Reporting that story.
It was fun. It was a very fun day. I went and met Kevin and Lauren at their country club, and it was like a day of practice for them, which meant that they were they were on the range for a while. They played 9 holes. It was mostly Lauren playing. Kevin would jump in every now and then, and then she was doing some putting practice for about a half an hour after the round. I think she's awesome. It's cool to watch. It was really fun to watch the two of them together, their interaction. So they were just, they were on a golf cart. I was on a golf cart just following them. I wasn't playing with them. I didn't have clubs or anything. We get to the seventh hole, I think it was. Lauren bombs this drive, and there's like 130, 135 yards in, and they pull up to the ball, and she says, "Why don't you play this hole with us?" I'm like, "Oh God, this is like, I want to embarrass myself here. You know, this is like she's testing me. Like, let's get the read on this guy." And she hits this ball. It's like there's a big slope on the left side of the green that funnels everything to the hole. And she hits this ball, just a perfect shot. It lands in the middle of the slope, trickles down slowly to within like 4 feet. Like, so good. Kevin goes up next, and he skies this pitching wedge, and it looks like it's going to be perfect, but it just lands at the very top of the ridge. It doesn't trickle down, but like pin high, great shot. Now here I come, just this dingus. And you know, I don't have my clubs. I don't have a glove. I haven't been practicing. I've got
a glove. Come on.
I've got, you know, my sunglasses just dangling from my shirt.
Come on, players play.
I'm not a very good golfer. You know, I'm okay. And I stand over and I'm just, you know, my swing thought, be an athlete. Like, here we go. You know, I take his 9-iron. I'm thinking, you know, I'm not warmed up. Let's take a little 3-quarter swing here. And Zach, I hit the best shot I've hit all summer. It was like this perfect draw right to the pin. It landed I'm looking like, oh my God, this is nuts. It landed like a foot from the hole. The ball mark is like right next to the hole. I'm like, you guys have got the wrong impression of me. This is not who I am. I then missed the putt, which I think is more appropriate. But that was fun. It was fun to have answered the bell that way. But mostly it was fun to watch her and talk to other people about her, like this swag that she has. And like, I'm excited to follow her career for sure. And then the other part of the story, obviously, is something that, you know, you and I have talked about, like it's a little bit more pronounced when you're an actual coach on an NFL staff, but like, the difference in our lives between football season and not football season in the family is pretty stark. And so it was interesting and helpful to talk to Kevin and his wife, Nicole, about all that stuff. So it was fun.
Awesome story. Make sure you guys check that out on The Athletic. It was an A1. So you can check that both on the Eagles feed and on the A1 feed.
You know, I didn't get the New York Times tweet like you got.
Sorry.
Not as much of a company man, I think. I think it's all the Sullivanberger talk we've had.
You got the Brendan Quinn tweet.
Much more important.
I mean, Bruce Feldman retweet.
I mean, I hold both of them in much higher esteem than the New York Times, I would say.
Be careful what you say.
Just saying, the best of the best. What can you know?
Yeah.
Big news. Oh, no, I guess we can't talk about that yet.
What?
Oh, no, we did. He tweeted it. We can talk about it. Being athletic news, New York Times athletic news, Tyler Kepner.
Yes. Yeah. So I'll give a minute on Tyler Kepner here. Okay. And this is sincere. Tyler Kepner went to my high school before me. But I grew up wanting to be Tyler Kepner. Right. Like, he was like a legend in my, all my teachers. Cause I was one of those kids who wanted to be a sports writer, you know, when I was like 12, and I would hear all about Tyler Kepner. He had a homemade magazine that he made on the Phillies back, when he was in high school. And at that time he was, I think, the Riverside Press Enterprise and the Seattle Times. And then then the New York Times. He had just gotten to the New York Times when I was in high school, and like, Tyler was is like royalty to me. Like, he's incredible. And I've read, actually, over my shoulder here,
you're lighting up.
Boom, in the middle one. These are the most important books here. The middle one here,
more important than Underdogs.
Okay. Yeah, these are some of the books that, like,
I hope you only have one of those.
These are some of the books that, like, mean the most in my life, like, that the sports books like Jim Murray, okay, Peter King, great football writing, best American sports writing ever. Barry Sferluga, he's a columnist at the Washington Post, who's been awesome to me. Jason Reed, we had him on around this time last year. Fab Five, come on. I mean, that's just my-
come on.
Dick Schaap, Flash. I probably read this book like five times when I was in high school. Another Jim Murray one. So, in any event, yeah, Tyler, yeah, congrats to the Athletic, congrats to Tyler. That's awesome.
All right. Like a TK. You know, like the placeholder, right? Okay. Good stuff. Well, I guess that'll do it for today's episode of Birds with Friends. We will have a post-game pod Thursday evening. Guessing 11:30-ish, 11:30 or midnight or so.
It's an 8 o'clock game.
It's an 8 o'clock game?
Yeah, because it's an Amazon game.
Why does Amazon get preseason games?
They need the reps.
Ugh. It's an 8 o'clock game.
It's an 8 o'clock game. Yes.
All right.
It gives you more time at home, though.
All right. I don't need time at home.
Sure. Sorry about that.
This is terrible.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then it's going to be more like 12:30 or 1 in the morning, most likely. Sorry, Kent. I guess that'll do it. Let's let Zach go see his family and tell them the Tyler Kepner news. Reed's going to be over the moon. And we'll talk to you on Thursday night. So for Zach and Kent, I'm Bo. We thank you for listening. And just like Zach told me today, as always, we love you. Birds with friends.